So if you're anything like me, you do a lot of your online shopping, well, a lot of your shopping at all, on Amazon. So if this is a case for you, and you're looking to buy something anyway, if you go to our website at tensandaces.com, near the top of the page, you will see an Amazon banner ad. If you click there, prior to making a purchase on Amazon, it will open up your Amazon app just like normal, or if you're in a browser, go to the Amazon webpage just like it would normally if you were to type in amazon.com. The only thing that's different is that because you click through our referral link, the Tens and Aces podcast will get a small little commission on whatever you buy. It doesn't cost you anything. It's just a good way to support the show and show your love for TNA and, you know, help cover some of the cost that it costs to make this thing. So remember, if you're going to buy something on Amazon anyway, go to tensandaces.com, click the Amazon banner, and then you're good to go. And you're helping out something you like this podcast. And it's a win-win, win-win, win-win-win. Oh, and while I got you here, thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. Now, enjoy the show.
One of these losers in Las Vegas who keeps thinking he's going to come up with a way to win at blackjack.
Are you ready for some TNA?
Welcome to TNA, the Tens and Aces podcast. A podcast with true-to-life stories and experiences from advantaged players in the game of blackjack. From pros crushing it and making a living counting cards, to newer players who are just making their way through all the ups and downs of what can be, at times, both an equally frustrating and beautiful game of AP Blackjack. Is this the kind of thing you want to hear? Well, listen up, because we're about to give you some TNA. Here's your host, Mike AP.
And welcome to the show today. As the man just said, I'm your host of this transmission of our experiment in imaginary radio that we like to call TNA, the Tens and Aces podcast. So if this is the kind of thing you want to hear, well, listen up, because we're about to give you some TNA. So with me today are three members of the Blackjack team, Archimedes 21. We have Waco Kid, who is making his first appearance on the Tens and Aces podcast, and hopefully we can have him on for a one-on-one interview at a later date. Also joining us is Gus 28, who was on a recent episode as a solo guest, as well as friend of the show and someone who's been on here several times, Nubs 1981. How's it going, guys?
Good, great.
Good, just well.
And it also should be noted that you guys are coming to us directly from a boat on one of the Great Lakes in the northeast of the United States. Along for the ride with you guys is your manager, Dirty Harry. And I think I heard a wife or a girlfriend in the background there, if I'm not mistaken.
The real boss is here, too. She's here, too.
Okay. Hi, boss. So, does everybody want to give a quick little thumbnail sketch of who they are and all that kind of thing? And we'll start with Waco Kid.
All right. Sure. Yeah. So, I go by Waco Kid on Discord. Been a card counter for about 5 years. Played by myself for about two of that. And then I've played with various partners and teams in the 3 years after that. Yeah, I've always just loved blackjack, but it's something that I've always really enjoyed. And playing with a team, there's nothing better.
Right. Okay, so how about Gus? You want to introduce yourself real quick?
Hey, Mike. Yeah, you guys probably recognize me by the accent. You know, I'm the Gus 28. Have been a podcast a couple weeks ago, and I'm just, you know, enjoying the time here with the team after a quick hit. Some casinos in the area. And yeah, you guys heard about me. I have been a card counter for almost 3 years now, you know, 1,000+ hours of table time, and has been such a ride, you know.
Awesome. Right on, man. Thanks for coming on. And last but not least, we have Nubs 1981. What's up, brother?
Yeah, not much. Just enjoying the day with the team, having a few beers, hanging out on the boat, soaking up some sun. A little R&R time, because we all got chased out of the local casino up here last night. So
You want to go over that real quick? Just for fun.
Well, we threw it in their face last night. It was surprisingly good conditions. Double deck hit 17 with, you know, a half deck cut off. And any negative EV hand, we were betting table minimum one hand to 25. And any positive EV hand, we were betting two spots at table max.
Wow.
Right to table max at a true one. And we actually lasted about 5-6 hours each. And we finished ahead of EV. So
was that spread decision based on you didn't think you were going to get much time, so you're just going to hit them while you could because the game
the table limits are a little low, and the bankroll can handle two spots of table max at a true one.
Right.
So we actually thought we'd get more time with no ramp.
Yeah, makes sense. Got it. And apparently you got hours. You might have hit a threshold that might have triggered, you know, your back off. I don't know. I'm just this spitballing here. So
I think it was the constant table max call outs and then the table max blackjacks call outs and then the color ups for purples and things of that nature. But I mean, we knew it was coming, but we didn't care.
You should have done $5 under table max or $1 under.
Get to EV. Come on.
I actually, there were a couple times I was betting one green less than table max. But the thing is, there were locals there that would bet table max regularly. So when I saw that happening, I was like, okay, I'm right there with you, boys. I'm adding that green chip back on.
Sometimes I'll say, I got to support the table. Say somebody ploppy throws out some big giant bet. I go, like, and the count's good. I'll act accordingly. I said, I'll support you, man. I'll bet big. We're in this together. Yep. Yeah, right on.
All right, so I have you guys on here to do a mailbag Q&A episode with questions coming in from the listeners. So let's get right to it.
First question is from listener Ben. He has a couple here. His first question is, how do you maintain relationships with non-AP friends while on the road so frequently? And that's for the group.
Oh, it's a good question. It takes a lot of effort.
I think we're all scratching our heads.
That's a great question. Even more because my friends doesn't know what I'm doing when I'm in a row. So I always have to come up with some, you know, like crazy stories of I'm going to another state and, you know, I don't know, doing some business or whatever. It is difficult, you know, when you don't have like a lot of people around that knows what you're doing. So, you know, keeping a cell phone, sending cards and text messages all the time and just try to be as much there as I can.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that is just, you know, your time is limited. You want to play blackjack when you can, but you also have to set time aside to relax and spend time with friends and family.
Absolutely.
If you're trying to get a lot of hours in at the table anyway, then you really want to schedule things out a lot. And part of doing that is, you know, keeping sight of what's important to you in life. And if you have people in your life you need to be spending time with, that needs to be in the schedule just like blackjack does. So.
Balance. Yeah, that's true. EV or AV rather. Yeah. The other thing is from the other person's perspective, it doesn't understand AP. They just think we're going to the casino to go have fun, go gamble. And we're ignoring our friendships just because we're always gambling. No, versus if it was, yeah, I have to work 70 hours right now at work because, you know, I have to work. People understand that. But if you're going to the casino to gamble, you know, it's not always as understood by not people who don't get this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's work. It's work, and only APs really will understand that.
Right. Absolutely. So his next question is, it kind of dovetails off of this, is why and when do you decide to take a break? I think Waco Kid kind of hit on that a little bit, the importance of needing to take a break. But I think he's specifically asking, like, specifically at what point do you just say, okay, I know this EV degenerate, but I need to take a break?
Yeah, I think it has to do a lot with your well-being. I think you have to be in a good place mentally to be able to ride out the highs and lows of playing a game like this. And you find that you're getting to a spot where, you know, it hurts more than normal if you lose or you're not enjoying the wins as much or something. A lot of times taking a break will fix that. You can come back with renewed motivation to play harder and longer hours. So periodic breaks definitely help. I personally didn't play at all in 2020, so I'm just getting back into the game in 2021 here. And it's been really nice to kind of have that break.
Right on. You other two guys have any thoughts on that?
I think Waco Kid covered all my, you know, my point of view about it. If you know, the variance is not doing good or the journey is not as well supposed to be, if you know, bad streaks take a little more than it should, it might be time to take a break.
Yeah, I agree completely.
The next question comes from a listener named D-Man. He asks, or he says, he got his first back off trespass at Reno Atlantis playing double deck when he just started counting. He actually was pretty excited because he felt it meant he had a decent game. He says, although now I know that's not necessarily the true. He says, anyway, I'm heading back to Reno next month and I keep getting emails from Atlantis asking me to come back. Now, I know there are lots of places in Reno, so I probably won't try it. But theoretically, could I use this email invite to say I am no longer trespassed?
No. Right to the chase, no.
Yeah, the marketing department doesn't talk to the table games department very often, and a lot of these mailers are automatically generated, so you can't really rely on that for anything official.
Right. I don't think he's asking for if he can get away with the table. I think it's more like legal reasons, you know, going back into trespass property. Would that be plausible deniability? But still, I agree with you. The answer is no. But I've been asked
that. Plausible deniability, that would be something he would be presenting in court.
Right, exactly.
Setting where he probably doesn't want to be. So
yeah, it's not worth his time. Like he said, there's plenty of other spots in Reno. All right, that one got done quick. Okay, so he also asks, he says he's just starting to track his results on a spreadsheet. Other than the obvious game rules, pen, time played, bet spread, etc., what are the must-haves on this? And he wants to know if we track our counts, which I don't even know what that means.
I wonder if he's saying if you track, like, if you hit a couple of shoes that were high counts or not, but that's, I don't really see that as being important. What's important is anything that's going to help your EV. So dealer mistakes, dealer errors, dealers that cut extra cards off, extra pen. You know, the things that are higher EV are the things you're going to want to keep track of.
Right.
The time that you played might be relevant so that you can avoid that shift or focus on that shift just so you know what time of day it was.
Yeah. I used to keep track of my back off sessions when I had a back off. Always write down who backed me off or what kind of, you know, outfit I was using. If I had beer, glasses or whatever could help me on be back on the property and try to be as low profile as I could. That was helpful for me.
Right. And avoid that shift or that person works on, etc. Yeah.
Yes.
That is.
And if somebody wanted to record more and do like a lot of analysis, they could record the penetration from the number of people that were at the table. Cause you can actually get a lot of things from that. Like your rounds per hour and a pretty good estimation of your hourly rate. I don't really record those myself, but if you wanted to take it a step further, those would be viable options.
Right. It'd be worth your time if that was of interest to you. So his other question is, has AP been getting more attention lately, or is it just that I'm noticing it now that I'm in it myself? Do you think the amount of APs is up over the past few years? Also, since we hear mainly stories from successful APs, although I liked your recent episode with Robert Barron, who wasn't, what do you think the percent of the people who think they can do it and can't, or who start out having a winning game but get bad AV and quit for some of those reasons?
Percentage wise, I don't know what the percentage is, but I mean, I think we all know a handful of people that tried AP and failed or ultimately quit, gave up.
Yeah, usually because they lost their bank or had some bad variance to start.
It's like a lot of other things. It's just another avenue to apply, you know, hard work and dedication where you can enjoy some success. And I think a lot of people join it thinking that it's a way to make easy money and then quickly realize it's not and don't want to put in the work. So, you know, a lot of people go that direction.
Absolutely.
You never master it.
Well, I think now's a good time for a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to reach out to the show, hit us up on our website at tensandaces.com. You can send us an SMS or leave us a voicemail at area code 518-289-0478. That's 518-289-0478. And if you still haven't gotten enough of your Tens and Aces, you can email us at tensandaces21@gmail.com. That's tensandaces, the number 21, at gmail.com.
Hey, this is Colin from Blackjack Apprenticeship, and my biggest regret when I started out as a card counter was that I didn't have the tools I needed to succeed as a professional blackjack player. Because of that, I basically spent the first 500 hours of my career with a losing game and insanely high risk of ruin. Well, I've spent the last decade building out at blackjackapprenticeship.com the resources you need to not make the same mistakes I did, like the training tools to get a perfect game and the software you need to put together bet spreads and to scout casinos and network with other advantage players. Learn more about what our membership has to offer by going to blackjackapprenticeship.com.
What is Budweiser? It's bright, the look of perfection. It's crisp with ideal flavor. It's clean for a great finish. It's pure, made with the finest all-natural ingredients. It's the smooth, flavorable result of beechwood aging. Bright, crisp, clean, pure. This is Budweiser. This is beer.
And now we're back.
Question from HMX21. What are the pros and cons of team play versus solo or lone wolf play, in your opinion?
I think the biggest pro is camaraderie. And if you end up in trouble at a casino somewhere, you have teammates that can help you out.
Yeah,
camaraderie is huge, because if you're playing by yourself, which I did for 2 years, I can tell you it's pretty lonely to be out playing a lot and not being able to share the highs and lows with anyone. So, you know, being on a team is really great for that. And then there's also just some practical considerations. You know, there's a reason casinos don't just have one blackjack table. You know, they can have winning and losing nights, but when they have a fleet of 50 tables overall, they're usually going to have winning nights. And playing on a team is a way to combat that.
Okay, so a question from listener Matt. He says he lives in an area near Nashville, Tennessee, where the nearest casino is about 3 hours away. He says he goes up to play poker a few times a year, and he occasionally plays blackjack. He says he has a good regular job and kids. Spending a lot of time playing blackjack isn't much of an option for him. He wants to know if there's anything we would recommend for more casual players for either maximizing comps or getting any kind of an edge.
Well, if you want to maximize comps, the best way to do that playing blackjack is to go get a player's card, play as long as you can one day on that player's card, and then don't play again on that card and wait for the comp offers to come in a month or two later. That's the best way to maximize the blackjack comps.
Yeah, because then they'll rate you as that guy who versus going in and maybe someday you're not playing. Yeah, they'll think you'll come back and play at that same level, theoretically. Yeah,
your average daily theoretical is going to be higher than if you would play 10 hours on one day. You'll get better comps than if you play 1 hour for 10 days. Yeah. So that's the best way for that.
Right. So I think he's asking if there's some kind of I don't think any of us are going to have an answer that he might like for the other part where he asked about getting any kind of an edge, like some simple count or something like that, I think is what he's asking, like ace five or something like that.
Oh, hell no.
No, if you're going to play AP blackjack, you need to learn high low or some other
or KO.
Yeah, some other good count, and you need to put the time in, learn the deviations. You can't shortcut it. If you shortcut it, you're going to have a losing game.
Yeah, and even if you only play a few times a year, take the time when the kids are sleeping or whatever, a couple hours here or there to learn, practice, and then go to the casino and, you know, do it the right way. Don't try to take shortcuts. I don't believe in shortcuts because there's no point to it. Either do it or don't do it. Either do it or just either do it full on, learn a, like you said, KO or high low.
If you did learn high low or KO, you could use a very small break even spread and just realize all of your EV as the comps. So.
Right, because he's probably just basically looking to like free hotel stays and whatever when he
still
does
there?
Go there, you know. Yeah, I'm here.
Hello,
can you hear me?
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
All right, there you're back.
This isn't an ideal situation, but thanks for hanging in there, guys. So this is from a listener named Brady Goat. He says, what's the best count for a beginner to learn? And what are the advantages of a balanced count versus an unbalanced count? And could you explain what each is?
Well, I don't have experience with a lot of counts, and I'm always going to default towards high-low. I think high-low is simple yet powerful. So that's my default.
Yeah, so unbalanced counts, you're counting extra cards in the deck to track your progress through the deck. So instead of converting through to a true count, KO, for example, you're counting sevens, and on average, four sevens are dealt per deck. And so after two decks are dealt, on average, your running count's going to be an eight, and so on. And so this gives you a reference point to make decisions on about when you should raise your bet based on average, how many sevens are coming out. That's kind of the way that KO does it. Red seven, obviously, you're only counting red sevens. But the idea is common to any unbalanced count. They're counting extra cards to help track progress through the decks. You could almost think of a balanced count as an unbalanced count with a pivot point of zero, which people that study unbalanced counts know what the pivot point is. But in terms of a count that's easy to pick up, I like KO personally. I think it's very easy to use. The deviations are easy to learn and apply because you're only applying them once you get to your pivot point. So you only have two playing strategies when you're below your pivot point and when you're above it. And since you're not converting to true counts, it is a little bit easier to use at the table. The thing that made me ultimately convert from KO when I started out to high-low is that unbalanced counts tend to underestimate your edges early in a shoe, and they overestimate your edge late in the shoe. So you slightly underbet early and slightly overbet late. And you can see how when you're looking at averages of things, that kind of comes out in the wash. But in terms of when you're at the table, you know, it's nice to be able to throw out a couple extra 2 or 3 unit bets because it got up to a true 1 or 2 early in the shoe, which you can do when you're using a more precise count like high. So that's the way that I think of the differences between the two. I do think KO is easier to pick up, but high low is more powerful.
Yeah, because you don't, unbalanced count, obviously you don't have to worry about true count conversion. So I think that's probably easier for beginners, but I still suggest starting with high low, in my opinion. I agree with Nubs on that. What about you, Gus?
Yeah, so I agree with Nubs. I stick to high low. I learned high low when I first started, and I was playing long, really long sessions, so 8+ hours a session. And I look at other type accounts, but the mental energy that I was spending on these long, long sessions, high low was my better, was the best fit. I was able to, you know, conversations and keep track on everything.
Yeah, I think even more advanced level 2, 3 counts. In my opinion, high low works just fine, and those are just like vanity counts. Like, so to me, it's like mental masturbation. There's not enough value in learning in it. I mean, there is obviously it's better technically, but I think any value, tiny bit of value that's added is lost in complication. And yeah. I think it's like I said, I think they're just vanity counts.
I think it's the omega count is like the most accurate representation of the effects of removal. I don't use the omega count, but I always thought that that was kind of cool about that count. A lot of the other ones are just, you know, variations for the sake of variation, it feels like.
Right.
Anyway, so what's a reasonable bankroll to start with for a player who has about 10 hours a week to devote to counting? And he says he has 3 decent good gains within 1.5 hour drive from him to work with. He's mastered basic strategy as well as illustrious 18. The casinos have table limits of 25 to 1,000 max on shoe games and 50 to 2,500 on a double deck. And he says there are a few $10 tables, but they're all either CSM or 6 to 5, and he doesn't mess with those, and asks us what we think about that.
Yeah, whatever the table minimum is, you want at least 1,000 times that. So a $50 minimum, you'd want a $50,000 bankroll, $100 minimum, $100,000 bankroll, because you're going to drop units. Just for July alone, you know, each of us had a couple of really bad sessions all in the same, you know, the same week. And we dropped 700 units in July. So if you only had a $1,000 unit bankroll, then for us, we're playing with almost 5,000 units. So it's not really a problem. But right. 1,000 units would be the minimum.
Do you, either you other guys have any thoughts on that? Or did Nubs pretty much cover it?
Well, yeah, I think that's good general advice. And I think, you know, CVCX is a great program to analyze this sort of thing because you can see your ROR for different bankroll sizes. And I think the time that you intend to play does factor in. Because the more hours you want to play in a given period of time, the more money you need to support that play. So, you know, I think replenishable bankrolls are a fine way to go. You just need to take into account how much time you want to play on each trip. And you can look at how much money you need to bring so that you won't run out of funds during your average trip. So that's the only thing I would add.
Can you explain for someone who may not know what a replenishable bankroll is and how it works?
Right. So the idea is that a replenishable bankroll is a sum of money that can be replaced from, you know, either your job or some other source. And generally, when you have a replenishable bankroll, your ROR looks to be a little bit higher. But the fact that you can add to it over time, the reality is the ROR is usually a little bit lower than what would be displayed in CVCX. But if you look at the goal of playing blackjack with a bankroll is not running out of funds, that's where the replenishable bankroll comes in. So if you, let's say you can afford to bring $3,000 on a trip to play for a weekend, you can figure out what your betting should be so that on average that $3,000 will get you through the weekend. And if you run out of all that money, you know, next trip that you plan to go on, you should be able to bring another $3,000. That would be your replenishable bankroll. And if you're lucky enough to win and grow that in size, you can keep adding to it over time. Eventually, you get to a bona fide bankroll that you can actually, you know,
right,
do better.
Yeah, it was roboting in the last few seconds, but I can work with it.
Okay.
So I think that's about all we have. This will be a short episode. I feel bad keeping you guys from your jet skiing and summer activities. And
as well, you should.
Hey,
that's
was your
manager talking.
No, get this done.
Don't misread into that, Mike.
No, it's all good. I know you guys are just busting my balls. I know.
Yes, we are.
Thanks. What was your name? The manager's name. Don't tell me. I forgot. Dirty Harry. See, yep. A guy like Dirty Harry wouldn't make a comment like that. Guy named Dirty. Anyway, so you guys go have fun. And I'll let you go.
Personally, I think D-H stands for something else.
Hello, I think we lost you again. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, we lost you again.
Yeah, you're back. Yeah. So I was just saying that you guys go have fun. Go get wet, both with your drink and your water sport activity there, and have a good time.
Yeah, the real problem is that we ran out of Budweiser, so we got to go back to the camp and
replenish
the cooler.
Yeah, I understand. I could hear the worry in your guys' voices. Yeah, so go unpart yourself.
All right, Mike.
Thanks for having us. All right, talk to you later.
Yeah, we're losing you again. Thanks for having us, and
be healthy.
I'm sure we'll talk to you again another time.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
May all your counts be true.
Absolutely.
All right, take it easy.
Later. Bye.
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 Bye. So yeah, that's going to be about it for this episode, folks. Sorry for the short episode. I'll try to add some content on the end of this episode to make it somewhat of a full-length episode. But, I mean, I had to cut out probably 20 minutes because, you know, they were in a boat on a lake and kept losing the signal and, you know. So sometimes the best laid plans just don't work out. So this is what we have for today, and hopefully the next episode turns out a little better. But I hope you guys enjoyed what we did have and maybe learned something, or at least were entertained, and we will see you down the fell. All of your TNA needs, head to tensandaces.com.
Are you serious about becoming a Blackjack Advantage player? If that's your plan, then listen to the real pros first. They will tell you to test out and hone your skills before risking your starting bankroll. Check out the Advantage Player Refinement Program, offered exclusively by Archimedes21.com. The A21 APRP will tell you if you're ready. Until then, look into becoming an investor in Archimedes 21 and start earning right away.
I'd say what I've been noticing too lately too is more states are legalizing gambling than I've ever seen, right? There's casinos popping up everywhere. And I like it because I like gambling. After my shows, I like it. I go to Vegas 3-4 times a year just to gamble, right? Only thing I don't like about casinos, I'll be honest with you, I get a little depressed sometimes when I go to casinos and I see the people in the wheelchairs with the little, I don't know if they can walk or not. It's like a half wheelchair, half moped. You know, it's got a little rev things right here, got a little basket, put the Snickers and the Mountain Dew in. Cause I don't know, to feel bad for them or are they just lazy, you know? So, you know, and then, you know, I tell you what I really feel bad for though. You see the people in the wheelchairs with little air in their nose, you know, and got a little jetpack of air behind the wheelchair. I feel bad for them because I'm like, fuck, they can't walk or breathe, you know? But then I stopped feeling sorry for them because I've been looking at them like, hold on. You can't walk or breathe, but you still smoking a cigarette, motherfucker? I mean, at some point, you got to make a decision in your life you want to live or die. If you're at the point where you can't breathe air, you might want to stop smoking. Like, at this point in your life, when you need this shit in your nose and a jetpack of air behind you just to live You know, this is almost like God. Like God and Jesus came up with a little bonus there, you know? Like they said to God, like, look, you've been really good. We're going to give you a few more months on earth. Bring this little bonus there in. Then we're going to bring you on home, okay? So you enjoy these last few months. Just for me and Jesus. Little bonus there. Me and Jesus came up with. So enjoy your last month. We're going to bring you on home, okay? You're just going to smoke a cigarette. That's disrespecting the Lord right there. Have you ever seen those people in the wheelchair with the Aaron A nose? They always on the slot machines too. They don't play blackjack or craps. They be on the slots, you know. Usually you find them on the penny slots too. I've been looking at them. I've been like, look, man, you can't walk or breathe. What are you on the penny slots for? You ain't got a lot of time left. Ball out, motherfucker! Shit, get on them dollars. What the hell are you on the pennies for? You hit 3 sevens, win $22. You can't fill up your bonus air tank for $22. And they be the rude ones at the casino. It's not us. It's the people in the wheelchair, you know? Because the wheelchair takes up a lot, and then you got the jetpack air. It takes up more space. We can't walk by. We just trying to go to food court, get a cup of coffee. Oh, my God. Sorry about that. Oh, shit. Sorry. They don't move at all. They ain't got to hit the wheels no more. They just got to rev that bitch. Just rev it up and then bring it back. Reverse, you know? They don't want to move their wheelchairs at all, you know? They want to get mad at us. They want to cuss us out, right? But every time they try to cuss us out, it don't sound right because they got the fake air in their lungs. Then they got the smoke in their lungs. So every time they talk, it sounds like Danny Glover's daddy in The Color Purple, you know? You going to let him talk to you like that? My God, the dad howls a resin.
Let me tell you something. Las Vegas was the most evil town I have ever been to in my life. Seriously, any other town you go to, there's a little devil and a little angel on your shoulder, you know? Give me a little good advice, a little bad advice. You go to Las Vegas, there's like a devil and a devil. And they're just like battling it out the whole week. It's like, smoke some crack, get a hooker. You're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a good town. Smoke some crack and get a hooker. All right. Oh, look, an ATM. Okay, here we go. I lost all my money. Now what do? Get a gun, rob the casino. Good idea. Look at all the lights. This is beautiful.
This new trend now. You just see these old people tethered to the machine by that bungee cord player card thing. What the hell is that? It's like you're tying up an old dog outside a house or something. Here, Nana, here's some nickels. We're going to plug you in. Don't roll away. We'll be back after the comedy show. They could have a heart attack and die, and you wouldn't know it because that bungee cord will keep holding them up in the chair the whole time. Play nickel slots. Good Lord. They have penny slots. Have you seen that? Yeah, you know what's worse than playing penny slots? Watching somebody play penny slots. Yeah, you getting all caught up in the action. Oh, my God. That guy's down like $3. How long's he been playing? 4 hours. He's a grinder. Grinding it out. But welcome to the Tropicana, too. One of the nicer hotels and casinos on the Strip. That's the big trend in Las Vegas, people. Get rid of the decrepit old hotels and casinos and then build up those big, huge, fancy new... You know, like the Wynn, which that's the wrong name for a casino. They left never off the front of that son of a bitch. Lost there. The Bellagio, you been through the Bellagio? It's nice, isn't it? Yeah, but you get the feeling though when you walk through the Bellagio, they have a different target clientele. You know, it doesn't feel like they're looking for the rich, the famous, the tuxedo wearing James Bond gambler. And that's great if that's their target, you know? The best thing about the Bellagio is they can't keep out the riffraff. So there's nothing better than walking through the Bellagio and seeing that guy with the NASCAR hat and the Hooters t-shirt. He's got that 3-foot margarita with the big ass straw. Walking around like this. Man, this Bellagio's nice. Woo, doggy. Like the Clampets go gambling. It's awesome. That's right, Bellagio. And the 3-foot margarita. Do you need that? Yeah, when your beverage has a shoulder strap, you got a 12-step program in your future there.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, on my way driving in and stuff, you know, I drive around, I go to the casinos and stuff. Man, I want to give it up to the Native Americans for their casinos. I love how they got down and they got their stuff together. Yeah, they deserve that applause. Give it to them. I was impressed. I went to the Indian casino. I was like, man, this is nice. Everybody's so courteous and organized and professional. And I was like, well, dang, how come black people ain't got casinos? And I thought about that. I was like, we ain't ready for that. We ain't ready. We are not ready for that. I pictured the black casino, what the black casino would be like. You know, we wouldn't even have the same kind of games. You know, even playing dominoes, playing Monopoly with real money, shooting dice but on the floor. You know, our sports book would be different. We didn't be betting on games, we'd be betting on Maury results. I told you he wasn't a daddy.
I'm a big gambler. You guys gamble? You guys gamble?
Yeah.
I used to work in a casino before I was a comic. I used to deal blackjack 21, but I got fired because I had dyslexia. Kept paying everyone on 12. The casinos are fun, man, but any high rollers here? High rollers? Any low rollers? You know who you are. Yeah, you nickel slot players. I hate the nickel slot player. I realize you're not even gambling. You're just making noise. You're like, woo! 5,000, what is that, 50 cents? Kill yourself. So my dad's a big gambler, man. My dad would gamble on anything. My dad would gamble on gambling. So me and your mother going to Las Vegas, bet you 1,000, we lose 500.